right, where's Jenny? She's moseying this way. Jenny Lord and her family, Robert, and the kids, four kids, have already made a significant impact on the life of our parish. We praise the Lord for what the Lord has done in their lives and for bringing them to be part of our fellowship here. I am very blessed by both of them. Robert's helped me with the finishing well class, and Jenny is a real leader in the community in being an advocate for the Lord's kids, basically, and for their families. I'll let her tell you more about it, but I'm proud of you, Jenny. You bless my soul, and I just rejoice you're here. And she's very articulate, too, by the way. So she's got a gift, and I'm glad we get to share the gift with you now. So let me pray over her. The Lord be with you. Lord, we thank you for Jenny and the good work that you've done in her and for raising her up for such a time as this. We thank you, Lord, that her passion is yours, and Lord, it more and more is our own here. And we ask, Lord, that you would anoint her, just pour the oil of your Spirit over her, that we all might be touched by you, Lord, and our hearts moved by you. And Lord, if there are new things to move us into, please do. Lead us, O Lord, and bless this time now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Bless you, Jenny. Good morning. So today we're celebrating Blue Sunday, and if you have not gotten the memo, I see many of you have gotten the memo. Blue Sunday is a time for the church to stand and pray for children who've been impacted by abuse and neglect, and also for the people who take care of them. It's an opportunity for the church, actually across the country, to stand and pray. So I want to share a little bit more with you about what is happening in our community, and Chosen is just simply one strand. I'll get there. So I suspect that most of you are parents in this room. Yes, some grandparents too. So can you imagine getting a call that an 11-year-old child was being delivered to your doorstep who had been in 13 previous foster homes? Since the age of 3, this child had been in foster care for 8 years. Two families in his path had stepped up to say that they would adopt him and later changed their minds. Like me, as a mother of 4, this is very difficult for me to imagine in my own home. But it is the exact story of one of the families in our community. And I unfortunately have hundreds more like it. So, for those of you who don't know, Chosen is a ministry that I started 10 years ago. This year we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. And it was birthed out of a place that I believe children belong in families. They don't belong in a system. They don't belong in a shelter. They don't belong in an institution. They belong in families by God's design. And God birthed this ministry through me. I have the privilege of leading to this day. And our focus is discipleship, just like the bishop just spoke of, discipling of families to equip them and strengthen them for what they are opening their homes to. Unfortunately, when a child has been abused, neglected, or abandoned, they have been damaged neurologically, in their brain has been altered. And it doesn't look like typical parenting, and it's very difficult. And people who say yes to these children usually have good intentions, many of them Christians, but they are ill-equipped for the challenges at hand. So that is where our ministry comes alongside them. And as I said, we're just one strand in the community of what God is doing on behalf of these children. Unfortunately, when a child like Jacob that I mentioned earlier comes into a family, he doesn't know how to operate as a son. He has developed coping mechanisms, defense mechanisms that are birthed out of fear that prevent the connection that is instrumental to his healing. You see, a child that has been harmed in relationship can only heal in relationship, again, by God's design. So that connection between a loving caretaker and the child is the start of that child's healing. And the behaviors that are birthed out of fear for that child often prevent that connection and attachment from actually happening. this past week, Jacob was going to be adopted by a family we've been discipling for about 9 months. Throughout this journey, the dad has had significant struggle learning how to parent this child. He attributes the success of their journey to get to the place of adoption through what he's learned from our ministry. He didn't think that he could go on many times. This man, this dad, is not a believer. And after several months with us, he asked one of our program staff, our care manager, "How do you do this?" And as a mother of four adopted, she said, "Well, I do this through the power of Jesus Christ." And it opened the door for the gospel. He hasn't accepted Jesus yet, but he did go through with the adoption. That was on Thursday. The day before, he was on the phone with our program staff sobbing, this dad. The son had been having meltdowns all day and out of control behaviors, and he simply did not know how to diffuse this. This is supposed to be a glorious event, but that child was terrified. With 13 failed placements, why would he believe that this one's actually going to happen? Fortunately, we are able to work with the dad and diffuse that situation and comfort him and give him the tools that he needed to embrace his son and assure him he wasn't going to leave. Many times, as I said previously, this dad wanted to give up. Unfortunately, there are many more Jacobs in our community who have similar stories, who need the prayer and support of people in the body of Christ. Jacob's healing is only just beginning. Unfortunately, a child, when they come into a home, that doesn't mean that they're healed. That means it's just beginning. We serve foster, kinship, and adoptive families. Many of you are probably not familiar with the term kinship. Kinship is a relative who is caring for somebody in their family. The grandmother raising their grandchildren, the aunt and uncle raising their niece and nephew because the biological parents were unable to care for them. In the state of Texas, currently for children who are in the system, 52% of them are with a relative. Those relatives have no training in trauma. They've said yes because they got a call in the middle of the night, they got a knock on the door, and they're doing the best they can to raise their children. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of structure and support for those families. I imagine that many of you are thinking of people in your very own life who are in that situation. They need our prayers. It is not an easy journey. So some of you don't know my background. I'll share just a little bit of my personal testimony. When I was 19 years old, I won't tell you how long ago that was, a couple of decades plus. When I was 19 years old, my mom took in a child from foster care who was 19 months old. So we were 18 years apart, and he became my brother through adoption, and I believe that adoption is a beautiful thing. Obviously, God has adopted us into his family. Adoption was his idea, right? That was 20 plus years ago, and she did not have services or support to understand. She just thought love was enough. We hear that a lot. I thought love was enough. And it has been a very, very difficult journey with my brother. He's still in our family, but we have experienced the sorts of trauma that we are trying to prevent. When a child has been harmed in relationship, unless there's intervention to bring healing to that trauma, it can unfortunately lead to things that we all care about in our community: high school dropout, incarceration, substance abuse, homelessness, mental illness. So as the body, we're called to care for the least of these. I trust that you all do. You all know those verses. You all know about defending the orphan, defending those who are afflicted. That's our call. We're also called to come alongside of these families who are saying yes to these children. And we do care about leaving a community that is stronger for our children and our grandchildren, that we're not dealing with increased homelessness, increased substance abuse. As the bishop said, there's been, I would say, a failure in the realm of discipleship. I certainly did not see discipleship modeled for me, and I grew up in the church. So we have a long way to go to create the kind of community that we want to leave for our children and grandchildren to inherit. When I was in college and going through this journey with my brother on the path to adoption, it took about 4.5 years. And I had the great fortune of being in school and studying child welfare up close. I saw very clearly how fractured it was and how children could fall through the cracks in the system. And I had a real passion to do something about it and didn't know what to do. But what I saw was that legal transformation was needed. Just by some of the laws and loopholes, children can fall by the wayside. So I thought I wanted to pursue law school and interned at a law firm. And then I ultimately decided that I didn't want to live a life of 100-hour weeks, and I wanted to have children someday. So I turned that path down. But fast forward about 5, 6, 7 years after school, what God showed me was it's not just legal transformation that's needed. It's kingdom transformation. As the body of Christ, we need to have influence on state policy, on the leaders that are leading these organizations to bring transformation. And I know that our model is having significant success because it's discipleship. It's one-on-one, life on life, and God is opening the doors for us to have influence with leaders, with public policy, and that is the sort of transformation that's needed. Is legal transformation needed? Yes, but that's just a piece of it. And the kingdom transformation supersedes even the legal transformation that's required. So I have something very exciting to share with you. About 9 months ago, a group of faith-based leaders, by God's providence, a group of leaders came together in our community and said, we are all working in this space. What can we do to be more effective? How can we link arms? How can we engage the church? What would that look like? And we just started dreaming. We just started asking the Lord, what would you have us to do together to be more effective? And I had an idea. There's a group in the country called Christian Alliance for Orphans. It's a national organization of an umbrella of about 300 different agencies like mine. And they've done a lot of research. And they've got a national foster care director. And I knew that they had been researching what would it take for there not to be any waiting children, no waiting kids in foster care waiting for a home. I'm sad to tell you that there are about 500,000 kids in foster care today. 500,000 children. 100,000 of those are waiting for a home. That means that their parental rights have been terminated and they are free and clear for adoption. The average age of that child is 9 years old. So that is a lot of baggage and damage that comes with it. And quite frankly, it's hard. So people aren't necessarily just lining up. But we said, what would it take for there not to be any waiting children? Fortunately, CAFO has done the research, and this is what they found. If 10% of churches in every county in the United States, so wrap your mind around that, 10% of churches in every county in the U.S. said, we are committed to engaging in this issue. We are committed to seeing that there are more than enough homes for children who are waiting, more than enough foster families so kids aren't being moved all over the state, more than enough support for those families, 10%. So we said, okay, this group that came together in our community is now named Family Coalition. And we said, this is our goal, to have 10% of churches deeply engaged and committed to more than enough for these families, for these children. We serve a God of more than enough. It's attainable, right? I mean, it's there. The provision is there. And so we, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, we had our first meeting, this group, this Family Coalition group. We invited every pastor in our county, which is about close to 70, every pastor in our county, we invited them to come and learn what God was doing, what he had brought together, and asked them, will you commit to being part of this more than enough movement? So, Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. You're just a little bit ahead of me. So we had about maybe 20 of those 70 show up, maybe a little bit more. But we had two goals. One goal, our first goal was that by the end of 2020, we would have 20% engaged. That means 20% who say, I'm in, our congregation's in. We don't know exactly what that means, but we're willing to dive in and learn what that's about. The reason we started with the 20% versus the 10 is there's a difference between engaged and deeply engaged. Deeply engaged means this is part of our culture, this is part of our identity, this is like where you can see the impact on multiple levels. Engaged is just, okay, we're dipping our toe in the water, we're going to do something, right? So we wanted to start with 20% by the end of 2020. And then by the end of 2023, our goal is to have 10% deeply engaged, and we're going to measure that. We have an assessment. We're going to measure it to see and let the churches assess themselves. Let them see how engaged are we in this, because what we believe is that there's more than enough. Does anyone remember that video that we showed in November where the church, the pastor in Brownwood, he raised his hand and said, what would it take for us to have more than enough homes for children and be waiting for kids versus trying to find kids a family? And it was accomplished. He accomplished that 7 years ago. One man, one pastor stood up and said, we want to be in on this. And their church responded. And now in their city, there are waiting families for children. So we presented this to this group of pastors and we told them, this is our goal. And we're asking you today, are you part of this 20%? And Father Chuck was there and he said, yes, we're in, as you can imagine. And do you know that one meeting, we have 20% committed? So this is just the beginning, but we do believe it's possible. I'm going to repeat the more than enough pieces of this again, because this is important for you to know that as a body, I'm asking you, Father Chuck has already said yes to this, but I'm asking you, what is your part? So we want more than enough adoptive homes for every child who's waiting in our community. We want more than enough foster families so that kids aren't moving across the state. What that means is that they're displaced not just from their family, but their schools, their friends, from anything that is familiar if they don't stay in their county. So more than enough foster homes, more than enough support for biological families who can be reunited. They need discipling. They're often in that situation because they have their own trauma that was never addressed. And then more than enough support for all of these families. Agencies like mine, Chosen, we're a faith-based agency. We're providing support for these families in the trenches. That's our piece. That's our strand. And I'm so privileged and honored to be a part of this congregation where you care. You showed up in your blue. Father Chuck has said yes to this. And I want to know what your part is. Today, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for every child who's been abused and neglected and the impact of that on their lives. And we're going to pray for all of those who are called to care for them. Will you bow your heads, please? Father, I thank you that you are a father to the fatherless. I thank you that you've made a way through Jesus for ultimate healing, that you've made a way for our own adoption as royal sons and daughters into a heavenly family. Thank you that you care deeply for the least of these and that you equip us to do the same. Lord, thank you for your word and your promises. Thank you for your word according to Psalm 72, where you said that you defend the afflicted, Lord, that you save the children of the needy, and Lord, that you crush the oppressor. Lord, we ask you to crush the oppressor in the lives of abused and neglected children. We ask you to crush the oppressor in our own lives. Lord, we ask you to drive out fear, doubt, and shame that tempts us with shadow comforts. Lord, that prevents authentic relationship. Lord, that leads us to have apathy. Lord, we ask you to open our eyes to the opportunities at hand. We ask you to prick us, to pray for those who are hurting and those caring for them, and Lord, for protection for all. We ask that you would advance your purposes through us to bring systemic change so that people can heal and be strengthened and that you may be glorified. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you'd like to visit our table back there, we have a prayer calendar. It's a simple way to start. We have a prayer every day. Can you imagine what would happen if we're united in prayer on this? Pray every day, and there's other opportunities, but that's just a starting place. Thank you.